So, good morning, everybody. So, my name is Sébastien Lemange. I'm a research engineer at INRIA in France. The work I'm going to present to you has been done by one of my colleagues, Slim Mouni, who is associate professor at University of Nancy 2, and by myself, of course. The problem we are tackling in this work is the acoustic to articulatory inversion. And we propose to use a new model in this domain, which is an episodic memory. So here is the plan of my talk. In the first part, I'm going to briefly present you what is the problem of the acoustic to articulatory inversion. Also, a brief presentation of the episodic modeling and the motivation of this work. Then I will propose you the present you the proposed approach, which we call generative episodic memory. And this part will be followed by comparative evaluation before the conclusion. So, what's the acoustic to articulatory inversion problem? The problem is to recover the articulatory gestures from a speech signal. This is an interesting problem because many applications can take advantage of the knowledge about the articulatory, such as language learning, speech therapy, or also speech recognition. So this is an interesting problem, but also a very difficult one because this problem is highly nonlinear, and the mapping between the acoustic to the articulatory spaces is non-unique. So we think that, in fact, the dynamics, the articulatory dynamics, can help to solve, at least partially, the non-uniqueness of the solution, because the dynamics accounts for some well-known effects, such as the co-articulation. It accounts also for the physical property of the articulator, such as the velocity, the mass, the degree of freedom. And also, it accounts for the strategy that the speaker used, the articulatory strategy. So what about episodic modeling? In psycholinguistics, many works agree on the existence of episodic memory in our brains. In fact, this is a part of our brains where we encode any events we experience in our life. And these experiences are encoded into episodes and can be retrieved at any time. And there are evidences that we use oral episodic memory in speech processing. And in fact, we can retrieve past episodes in order to interpret present events and also to anticipate new event to predict. So episodic modeling can have been already used in, I think, two fields of speech processing, such as the speech recognition, so with the template-based speech recognition, and also with speech synthesis from with unit selection, which can be also seen as an episodic memory. So these models are in fact big collections of acoustic realization of lexical units, which can be phones or diphones, syllables and words. And most of the time, these episodes are described as time-ordered acoustic sequences and with contextual information. The results of these models for both speech recognition and speech synthesis are most of the time expressed as a concatenation of episodes. And this concatenation which best explains the input signal for speech recognition. For example, the input speech signal will be described as a sequence of episodes. And for speech synthesis, the synthesized sentences will be also expressed as a concatenation of episodes. So I call this usual episodic memory as concatenative memory. So let's go back to our problem, which is the acoustic to articular inversion. So the episodic memory is attractive for this problem for two reasons. The first one is that it relies on observed synchronized acoustic and articulatory data, so we don't have to formulate any assumption about the mapping function. The second advantage is that the articulatory dynamics are preserved within the episode and can help us to solve the problem of the non-unicity of the solution. However, there is maybe more practical problem than a theoretical problem. If we consider speech recognition and speech synthesis, the mapping is from continuous space, from discrete space for speech recognition. So we try to map an acoustic signal to a sequence of lexical units. The speech synthesis try to map a sequence of lexical units, so let's say phone, diaphone, to an acoustic signal. But if you consider the acoustic to articular inversion, the problem is different because the mapping is between two continuous space. So usually for speech recognition and speech synthesis, the memory are based on, let's say, a few hours or few tens of hours of speech to have reasonable results. But the corpora available for with articulatory information are very small for now. We are speaking about a few minutes or at most few tens of minutes. And thus, this small amount of data cannot cover sufficiently both the variation in the acoustic and articulatory spaces. So we propose to combine the available episode, and this combination will be based on the local similarity between these episodes. This way, combining episode can produce unseen articulatory trajectory and can better generalize over the data. That is, the memory will be able to produce variation of existing episode. So here is a very basic example just to illustrate what I mean by combining episode. So just consider a very simple labyrinth problem. And just imagine that I give you this labyrinth and ask you to try to solve this problem within only a few seconds. And imagine that you find two trajectories within this labyrinth, the red one and the blue one. And after that, I can ask you, could you give me other solutions without any new trajectory? And I think the answer will be, of course, yes, I can, because there are some similarity points, let's say the central area E. So from the two previously found trajectories within the labyrinth, we can find two other ones, which start from A, go through E, and end at T, and the B is C also. So this is a very basic problem, and it is only spatial. And of course, here we don't have to deal with temporal dimension, but a solution for that. So here I explain how I built my memory. We consider episode as sequences of synchronized acoustic and articulatory observation, and the considered lexical unit is the phone in this work. So what do we consider our local similarities? So local similarity is two similar articulatory configuration which occur at similar times, similar instants during the realization of a given phone. So we have to deal with two dimensions. The first one is the temporal dimension, and the second one is the spatial dimension. So we use the well-known DTW algorithm to deal with the temporal dimension, and we use also Itakura constraint in order to make the mapping asymmetric and to be able to compare different distances between episodes. And also the Takara constraint allow to control the distortion, the time distortion of the mapping. For the spatial similarity, let's consider the plot on the bottom right corner and just say that it's a trajectory of one articulator. And just consider the, at the time the position, the articulatory position x, xi. And we just say that xi plus 1, it's the natural articulatory target of xi. And we just make this the following assumption, that xi plus 1 could have been slightly different without a significant impact on the acoustics. So we defined an interval centered around xy plus 1. And we just say that any articulatory configuration within this interval can be considered as similar to xy plus 1. So let's consider two episodes now of a given phone. So let's say, for example, two acoustic and articulatory realization of the phone T or D, I don't know. Let's see how to build the generative memory. So we just check before that X and Y are similar enough because articulatory realization of some phone can be quite different because some articulators are not critical for all phones. So we map first, let's say, the episode Y onto the episode X. I've represented the aligned observation with the vertical lines, so the red one. Oh, okay. Okay, sure. I have to skip some. So it just to illustrate that from two episodes, the generative memory can contain at the bottom of the figure, as you can see, eight paths through these episodes. So the memory is able to produce from two episodes eight episodes, which are articulatory from an articulatory point of view, valid and can and natural. So the inversion consists in the so the generative memory is an oriented graph. So each node is a synchronized acoustic and articulatory observation, and the edges are the allowed articulatory transition deduced from the preceding mapping from an episode onto another. And the inversion consists in finding in this graph the path which best matches the input acoustic to be inverted. And of course, the articulatory gesture is derived from the articulatory component of each node. So for the evaluation, we have compared the memory, the generative memory, with a concatenative memory and with a codebook-based based approach with dynamical articulatory constraints. Here is the corpora. We use Mocha, which contains two speakers, a male and a female. The language is English. And we use Mocha, use seven coils, which are due on the lips, on the lower incisor, the tongue tip, the tongue body, the tongue dorsum, and the velum. And we use also a French corpus we have recorded with an articular graph. We don't use we don't fix the coil on the velum, but on the tongue root instead. Okay, let's see data processing. The evaluation of the estimated trajectory are based on the root mean square error and the Pearson correlation, which quantify the similarity and the synchrony between the reference and estimated articulatory trajectories. So here are the results. The red bars represent the codebook results, the blue the concatenative memory, and the green bar the generative memory. And we can observe the same improvement trend over all the three corpus, so over the two languages and over the three speakers. The generative memory always outperforms the concatenative memory and the codebook-based approach. And we have quantified the probability of improvement. So we can expect an improvement between 5 and 10% with 99% confidence for the GMM over the CMM, and between 10 and 15% for the GMM over the codebook. Here is a visual assessment. So as you can see, the codebook generates very jerky trajectories, while the episodic memories provide a smoother trajectories, because the dynamic is better modeled. So this corresponds to the movement of the tongue tip along the up-down axis. For the French sentence, juste quelques extrémités de branches jolies. Okay, if we compare the result with the state-of-the-art results, we can say that we have reasonable good performance. For example, I proposed you some machine learning algorithm which have been recently published, and we can see that the root mean square are comprised all between 1.4 and 1.7 millimeters. But Phil Hall have reported in an article that the articulatory data acquisition is error is about 0.4 millimeters. So we can just say that, we have different methods, but maybe as we don't share exactly the same processing, data processing, and because of the data acquisition error, maybe we are more or less equivalent. So we propose a generative episodic memory. So this model is interesting because it does not require any assumption about the mapping function. The memory is able to embed the articular dynamics, and it is able so to produce unseen articular gesture, and thus can generalize over the data. So for the future work, we are focusing on the use of a more robust distance, because for this work, we have used the Euclidean distance for the acoustic space, and it is this distance is known not to be robust for the acoustic. We'd like also to take into account the correlation between the articulators, because articulators can compensate between each other, and we think this correlation can help to get further improvement. We'd like also to move from a pure phonetic segmentation during the building of the memory to an articular gesture-based segmentation proposed recently by Ananta Krishnan. And finally, we can proceed to get further improvement, a local linear regression, because the memory is able to produce new trajectories but fails to precisely map an acoustic frame into the articulatory domain if this synchronized observation are not present in the memory. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. We have time for one quick question.
Hi, I was just wondering whether it seems to me there's room for combining the codebook and the generative model, and that the codebook could be some kind of a starting trajectory. Or I was thinking, is it possible to combine the codebook and the generative model? So the codebook could serve as your, you know, initialization, so to speak, or so adding a space to the search? Or would that be computationally too expensive?
In fact, the memory can be seen as a kind of codebook, but it's much than a codebook, because we have the temporal information within the memory. This is something that the codebook misses.
Okay, so when you refer to codebook, you mean a static codebook?
Sorry.
Okay, so thank you again.